Hello, I hope you've had a great start to your week. This episode is going to be all about building your kit. I wanted to talk about this because I myself am in the process of renovating my kit, rebuilding my kit, whatever you want to call it. And the reason I'm in this process is because my entire client roster has changed. My business has made a huge shift. I lost a very big client in December of last year, and I also had a few other clients either shut down their businesses or relocate. So there are some big changes in my business. I need to make sure my kit is more cost efficient for me to maintain. I also have a lot of stuff in my kit expiring, and wedding season and a busier season here in Toronto is just around the corner. So as my business is shifting, as things are picking up, my kit needs to be responsive to these changes in my business. With all these changes happening, I also want my kit to be more lean. I mentioned more cost-effective, of course, which means more pro-friendly products, so I'm not spending extra money on depotting. I don't want unnecessary packaging. I don't want to spend a lot of my time doing a lot of reorganizing and depotting and labeling and all of this stuff. And I wanted to kind of let you in on this process, how I'm approaching this, and I wanted to share a few things that you should be keeping in mind whether you're building your kit right now or your career is going through a bit of a shift. I'm hoping this can be an episode that you can come back to just to get more logical and centered about kit building, because it's so easy to get carried away. I think I wanted to start by just reviewing how your makeup kit should function, because I do talk to a lot of artists who are spending unnecessarily, who are getting overwhelmed by what they're seeing on social, and who are really losing sight of where their effort and energy should be going when it comes to building a pro kit, and quite honestly, what a pro kit actually is. Your makeup kit is basically your office, so it needs to be equipped with all the tools that you need to do your job. And very similarly to an office space, it's something that you're going to have to pay into regularly. So you want to make sure that what you're paying into will actually help you work and help you with your business. Part of your job is to make sure you look professional, make sure you are prepared, and your kit also kind of has to do some PR work for you. It has to speak to what your brand is and what you want to get across to your clients. It also has to be functional, practical, and something that you can afford to maintain. And I will remind you at this point that the more you spend on this job, the less you earn. So I would really recommend approaching your kit building by trying to do things as cost effectively as possible until you have a better handle on your finances and you've built a client roster that provides you with a steady income source. The other thing is, the more you buy, the more likely you will have things go to waste, especially when you're just getting started, because you just simply won't be working through enough of your product before these things expire. The reality is 100% of your clients are looking at your kit, and even people that are not sitting in your chair are going to be looking at your kit, and they're going to be making a judgment about your skill level and expertise based on how your kit looks. Your clients want to see a clean and organized kit, but they also want to see brands that they recognize or associate with being more luxury, and we can even include viral brands or products in this category. So yes, depotting is going to be essential to help you build your kit, but don't depot your kit into oblivion where there becomes nothing recognizable to other people. Your kit can really help you make an impression on your clients, even in the early stages. And because your reputation is so important in this industry, when you're first starting out, you have very few chances to build your reputation because you won't have many working opportunities or opportunities on set for that first little while. So part of making an excellent impression involves having a kit that looks clean and organized and that has products that people associate with being successful. This doesn't mean your whole kit has to be luxury. It just means that you have to have a few things in your kit that people can identify with what they think a successful professional makeup artist would carry, because people do treat you differently based on how you present yourself. While we are kind of on the topic of depotting, there's two things that I want you to consider or be mindful of, and that is cost and function. I think I just spent $200 on a smaller order on palettes, and that doesn't even account for the cost of what's going in them. So if you're new or you don't have any pro discounts, the cost of things is obviously going to be higher for you. And I have to be honest with you here, when you first start, you'll be working so little, you might not even make $200 in a week. So it might be helpful to remind yourself when you're making purchases how much you have to work to pay for the products you're adding into your kit. And just as what you buy for your kit is extremely personal and has to be tailored to your artistry and what you do for the clients that are booking you, your depotting has to be the same. I say this all the time, time, what works for one artist may not work for you. And this goes for everything, including your depotting. If you're going to depot something, you have to make sure it actually fits into your workflow or how you like to work. You have to make sure the product is still going to perform the same. You want to make sure you can depot things easily and quickly with minimal damage. So my suggestion is, whether you're just starting out building your kit or you're looking for a more efficient way to work, or maybe you're someone that's like me who's just kind of going through a kit overhaul, take into consideration more pro-friendly products or products that don't actually have to be depotted or products that can easily be depotted at a low cost. Buying a full color range of things at Sephora at close to market value and then having the additional cost of whatever it is to depot all of that product and the time it takes and the damages you're going to have to write off, this is not a sustainable practice for an average working artist because it is going to cut into your profits quite significantly. It's also completely unnecessary. Because we're working at a time where there are so many good products available everywhere at different price points, from pro-friendly brands to brands you can buy at Sephora or the drugstore, it's easier for us now. When I started, it was so hard to even get a pro discount, and the selection of pro-friendly makeup I had available to me in Toronto was very small. So I was kind of stuck buying very specific things, and I didn't have an option to save money on certain items or buy things in bulk or larger palettes. So now is really a great time in life or in the world to be a working makeup artist, because there's things available to you and easily accessible to you that are high quality at all different price points. I haven't really spoken about finances all that much on this podcast yet, but I'm telling you, as someone that's over 40, working this job, living in a very expensive city, please prioritize saving your money wherever possible. And I know it's extremely hard to do this with your kit, but you will thank me later. You do need to think about your future, the future of your business, your future, your retirement, vacations you might want to take. And spending less on kit supplies is a practice you want to get into the habit of to contribute to the longevity of your business and just your ability to enjoy the profits of your labor. One of the main functions of your kit is obviously to make you look good. And this means your kit is going to be clean and organized, your kit is going to be labeled. And with your depotting, that's great, but you're depotting only when it's necessary, and you're depotting only when you feel you can confidently do this because you know how to work with the product. You know when you depot a certain product, it's not going to ruin the product. You know it fits into your workflow, and you're not just blindly depotting things and following what you see on social media. And while we're on the topic of depotting and talking about our kits, I also wanted to touch on this idea of having a micro kit or a mini kit. And I've seen this a lot on social. I don't know if it's because I've been looking up depotting videos on Instagram, but I am seeing a lot more of these tiny, tiny kits. And this is something that I know is interesting to us. And I think it's something that you can do down the road when you have way more experience and you're more confident with your skills. But I wouldn't recommend a micro kit or a mini kit when you're first starting out, because I think you'll find it will bite you in the ass because you're not really experienced enough yet to work with a very lean kit. Something is going to come up that will trip you up, and it's going to be a huge problem for you on a specific job, and you don't want to tarnish your reputation or screw up earlier on in your career. I mentioned this a couple minutes ago. You want to put your best foot forward on every opportunity that you're presented, especially in the beginning when these opportunities are few and far between. I also mentioned that when you're first starting out in those first few years, it's important that you quickly build a reputation as a makeup artist that is prepared, professional, and reliable. So I would actually encourage you to maybe overpack and carry more than you think you need to so that you're prepared for anything. Eventually, as you get more experience, then you can start to work with a smaller kit, remove some products, or if you want to even go down to a micro kit. When you have more experience using color theory, color adjusting, and you know exactly how to do things and you're in full control of the products that you're using, then you can show up to a job with 3 foundations and some color adjusters. But you should really only think about doing this when you are more experienced and not a second before that. I have seen a few really big artists on social media, and I know a couple of very experienced artists who are in my circle here who work with a very small condensed kit. And they can get away with this for 2 reasons. The first reason is they have the technical skill to be able to really maximize the use of everything in their kit. And the second reason is that they are likely in a position where they are very respected by their clients and peers, so they will have the upper hand on a lot of jobs. And this is something I wanted to mention, especially if you're learning from artists on social media who are working with a lot of celebrity clients or who are very well known. Makeup artists at this level get a different level of respect from the people they work with, and they can get away with more because they have celebrity status. Versus someone like me and you, where we're very much working artists, and there aren't gonna be a lot of situations where we are gonna be able to say, no, sorry, I don't have that, no, sorry, I can't do that, or no, I don't do this, because it's gonna affect you negatively and you won't be hired back because clients will see you as being difficult to work with and underprepared. Another recommendation that I have when it comes to making sure your kit really prepares you for the work you're gonna be doing, and why I feel like the mini kit is just not the answer, I would actually suggest that wherever you are struggling in your artistry, you actually want to over prepare for that with the products in your kit. So what I mean by that is, if you struggle with deeper skin tones, and I'm gonna use this example because it's a very common struggle with a lot of artists, stock your kit with more deeper skin tone foundation and concealers, because if you're not comfortable with color adjusting, it's gonna be much easier for you to color match your client this way versus trying to mix things on the spot when you're not confident in this area of your work and you don't have a lot of experience with color theory, or it's something that intimidates you. Another example demonstrating the same kind of idea, I have a lot of clients where sometimes I have 10 minutes to do a makeup application. I've done makeup applications for full-on beauty campaigns where my clients have only given me 20 minutes. So in those situations, every minute that I have is extremely valuable, and I'm very confident color mixing and with color theory, but sometimes I just don't have the time to do all the mixing and adjusting that I would normally do. So for those jobs, I would overpack with my foundations, and instead of carrying, you know, 3 shades of Face Atelier foundation, I'll bring 8 and all the adjusters, because it's just faster for me to work this way, because I'm gonna be put in a position where my time is really challenged and I have to do everything I can with how I pack my kit to make sure I can deliver on the job that I've been hired for. When you cut yourself short by downsizing too much or not stocking your kit appropriately in the first place, these are all things that are going to affect your performance on the job. And this is something that can really affect your reputation, which will affect how much you earn, how fast you can build your client list, and so on and so forth. The kit building process is ongoing. It's kind of like an evolution, and it's never just a one and done. And what you have to do when you're building your kit is you almost have to be on a constant feedback loop with yourself every time you work, paying attention to what is working, what isn't working, and noting what needs to be improved and how. And this is how you should prioritize building your kit, not only by what you see artists using on social media. You want to pay attention to things like packaging of a product, how easy it is to use, how everything fits together in your workflow, how easy transportation is of that product, how things work on the job, how things are looking on camera. Are there specific products giving you a hard time? Is something leaking or spilling every time you transport your kit? Do you feel like certain things are not looking as they should on the skin on camera? These are all things that you have to make note of and build your kit with these things top of mind. And this stuff should take priority over what you're seeing other artists using on social. A lot of this is just turning the focus more inward before you turn it outward to social media and what other people are doing. Your kit is a very personal thing, and it has to be responsive to whatever type of work you are doing, regardless of what is viral or what you see other artists doing with their kit. Before you jump in and overhaul your kit or spend money on something, think about all of these things that I've just mentioned to you before you start making purchases and changes in your kit. Ask yourself, will this make my job easier? Will this solve a problem for me or fill a gap? Is this artist that I'm being influenced by doing work I want to do? What reasons do I have to trust this person and their recommendations for products or kit organization? Or even business advice, really. You need to look at the source of the influence and make sure it is aligned with the type of kit you want to build, the type of looks you want to do, the type of career that you want to have. You also just have to accept that there is trial and error with this job. It's a normal part of building your business with products, with application techniques, with business practices. Remember that certain products may work for somebody else, but they might not work for you. There's going to be some products damaged while you're depotting. Some of the things you try with your kit building and kit organization may not work. Some of the techniques you try may not work. So this is all part of the learning process. Let's move on to, I guess, more specific product-focused information. I know you're definitely expecting me to talk about this if I am talking about kit building. I don't think on this episode I'm going to get into brands specifically. I feel like that's something we can do on future episodes. I just wanted to touch on what to think about with the different products in your kit. With the products in your kit, it should go without saying, but I will repeat it anyways. You need to be able to work with any skin tone. This is a bare minimum requirement of this job. So if you are struggling with this, do not feel bad about it. Check out the show notes. I've got some free resources to help you learn more about color theory, because really this is all it comes down to. Makeup is just color. And once you learn color theory properly, you will have no issue working on different skin tones, matching foundation, picking the right products for your application, all of that stuff. Color theory is really the key to pretty much everything we do. And if you don't have the right training, you will find everything in your business will suffer as a result of that. Because if your makeup applications don't look good, you know, why would people hire you? What I'm going to speak about in the last few minutes of this podcast, obviously I can't account for every single makeup artist in every single situation. So I'm going to make some pretty broad generalizations here, but part of our job and our responsibility is to be prepared and to be versatile. We need to be versatile in both our skill sets and in the looks that we create. So when you're thinking about building your kit and you're thinking about the products that you need to have in your kit, you really need to be focusing on versatility and color range. When I say versatility, I mean one full coverage foundation in your kit, unless you can change the finish of it to be sheer or light coverage, is not going to be enough, and you're going to probably need a variety of formulations. If you're listening to this and you're just starting, or you're feeling like being versatile has not been a focus for you with your kit building, there's really easy ways to get around this. Look to pro brands and purchase palettes to try different formulations. I know it's not as exciting as going to Sephora and buying foundations and picking up a few shades of things that are going viral, but when it comes down to it, if you cannot be versatile, it's not really going to matter what brands you have in your kit. And earlier in this episode, I did speak about clients wanting to see higher end brands, and that's super easy to do. What you may want to consider doing is stocking your kit with, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 pro palettes and different formulations that have an amazing color range and that have adjusters and are just brands that you know are going to do the job and get the job done for you. And then you want to throw in a couple bottles of a more luxury foundation in the undertones and shades that you work with the most often. You don't need to have 30 shades of NARS foundation. You can probably just have 3. Or you don't have to have a full range of Charlotte Tilbury lipsticks. You can probably just have a Pillow Talk in there and something else that you use more often. This is a smart way of building your kit. It's going to help you be responsive to any job that you're hired to do. It's going to look good to your clients, but you will also be able to have versatility in your work, and you won't be short on shades or different textures and finishes, because we do need to provide that to our clients. When it comes to kit building, I think the hardest thing to do is really just to strip it all down and get in touch with reality and keep it simple without all the noise from social. But you do not need 100 brown eyeshadow palettes. Yes, you need a good shade range and different undertones, and you should be working with good quality shadows that make your job easy. You need some matte finish, some shimmers, you probably need some cream or liquid eyeshadows as an option, and you probably need just a small palette of brights. I think you'll find, obviously this is dependent on the job you're doing and the market you're working in and the type of work you do, but for me, I rarely dip into my brights, so I just have some just in case. And I have, you know, cream formulations and liquid formulations that are brighter shades as well. So I'm prepared for those things, but I don't need 5 different full eyeshadow palettes of all brights and different textures. And the thing that you have to remember, and what I also have to remind myself, is that if a job comes up or a creative comes up where you have to have a specific shade of something or a specific color, you can buy it ahead of time. At that point, you don't have to cart around an entire Sephora display of eyeshadows, because I think you'll find, yes, you want to be prepared, but reality is, how many times are you going to use a neon green eyeshadow? The other thing that can happen when you have, let's say, I've seen artists carry around like tons of different eyeshadow palettes and they kind of all look the same. Really, we don't need a lot of product to do our jobs. Where we have to carry a lot is that we do have to be prepared for different things. But your client or a photographer you're working with is probably not really going to recognize the difference between 6 medium brown eyeshadows. Do you know what I'm saying? But if you present your client with 6 different medium brown eyeshadows that kind of all look the same, it's going to be a little bit of overwhelm. And it's also going to be overwhelming for you as an artist because there's just too many things to choose from. And it will actually give you a bit of decision fatigue by the time you're done your makeup application. I think there can be a thing as just too much variety for you as an artist and also for your clients. And I know you are probably seeing examples on social of artists who are sprawling out everything on their table, but I can tell you that for most things, it's not going to be necessary. And it's not going to be necessary for the average working artist. There are jobs where I don't even open an eyeshadow palette for 6 or 7 models because I can use powder foundation as shadow, contour powders. I have a very small eyeshadow palette of just shades that I always use. They're in a little kit pack palette. They're all from Viseart. There's probably, I don't know, 12 different shadows. I can do tons of faces with that palette. And sometimes all I do is smudge liner into the lash line and apply mascara, and that's all there is to it. And that is the reality of our job. So when you are out there shopping and investing, if you feel like you're on a shopping binge and it's resulting from your anxiety about, do I have enough? Am I going to be prepared? What if someone asks me for a glitter that is lemon yellow and a lime green eyeliner on top? Remember that for a lot of the jobs that you're doing, you're going to be having communication with your clients beforehand. And you can always ask, and you should be asking, are there any special requests? Where are the inspiration images for the looks that we're doing? And this is why I say the biggest challenge is building your kit, making sure you're prepared, but also separating what is unnecessary from what you actually need to do your job and do well at your job. And I will say this again, because I mentioned it just a few seconds ago, but you don't need to put out 700 palettes on your station for your clients to see that you're prepared. If your kit is clean and organized, and you have just what you need out on your station, that's enough to signal to your clients, like, I got this, I'm ready for you, I'm ready to go. When you lay out all your foundation palettes, one, don't keep them open because that's gross, keep them closed if you are gonna do that. But two, it can be overwhelming to your clients as well. And if you ask them, you know, especially in a personal services setting like bridal or events, when you give them too many options, it's gonna be harder for them to really narrow down on what they like, because when they have all these options in front of them, it's gonna make them second guess. Well, should I have gone with that palette? Oh, but I wanted to try this palette. Oh, but I saw that you had these, and maybe I should have gone with something more shimmery. So, you know, help yourself out there. This will make things a lot easier for you on the job and with your setup and everything. But it is something that I wanted to mention, because I know the beautiful buffet of makeup on the table, people feel like they need to get to this point to be seen as a professional artist. But I'm telling you, in the real world, it's not necessary. And it's sometimes just too much for the people sitting in your chair to take in. When you are building your kit, focus on function and remember that feedback loop that I mentioned. Ask yourself, is what you are about to buy going to solve a problem for you or make your job easier? If it's not, let it pass. If you're somewhere in the middle, sleep on it. And I think one important thing to also remember is that we are here working in the real world, and what is going on social media is not a reflection of what is actually happening in reality. Social media platforms, the people who design these platforms, create algorithms that keep you on the platform for as long as possible, and they do this through preying on your emotions, and it's usually a negative emotion. And it is important to remember this in everything that you're doing. If you're listening to people or you're learning from people on social, also remember this. You may have some great mentors, and there's so many great people in our industry creating content for makeup artists, but when you hop onto a platform, yes, you have the things that are going to be helpful to you for your business, but the platform is also going to present other things to you that may affect your finances, your business, your mental health, and not in a good way. So it's really important to be clear on this. I did feel it was important to mention this on this episode because I think, well, the majority of us, if not all of us, are now only influenced by what we see other artists doing on social. And this will affect what products you purchase for your kit. When you hop on the platform, Instagram will deliver so many products you've never heard of before, or they'll put some influencers in your path to keep you engaged longer, to get you to buy, to get you to tap through. That's what's going on these platforms. So it's something that you have to be aware of because it sneaks up on all of us. That's what's so dangerous about all of this stuff. When I was learning how to do makeup in the 90s and in the early 2000s, to learn about product and to find new products, you actually had to attend a masterclass or a training, or you had to go to a trade show to see product being used and to get more information about pros who were actually working in the industry to see what they were using. When I think back at the kit that I had in my first few years, it was such a great kit. And it was probably one quarter of the price of the kit that I'm carrying now because I had no choice. I had to work with the products that were available to me. I mean, I also didn't have a lot of money to buy new things, so I had to rely on these trade shows and things like that to get a pro discount. But I was just working with a much leaner kit, which forced me to really use up all of my products. And I feel like a lot of artists are not operating in this way anymore because we're all being bombarded every single day with so many products, and we're made to feel like the products we have are not good and there's better, and there's just so much coming at us day after day. But what I can tell you from someone who learned in this way, I think it's really best to just simplify the whole process of building your kit. And once you have something that works for you and that performs well and that is looking good on camera and is doing all the things that we talked about in this episode, you don't have to continue searching. I know people get frustrated with me when I do the Q&As every week because I've been working with the same foundation brands for a long time. Like RCMA has been in my kit since the beginning. Face Atelier has been in my kit for a long, 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 long time. And everyone's like, how come you're not trying this? We want your review on that. You know, I appreciate that people want to hear from me. But my reality is if I was just doing reviews all the time and I was being paid to do content, of course I'm going to give a review. But I'm actually a working artist and I can't afford to keep up on every single new release. And foundations are coming up in a million different textures and finishes. I can't keep up with that because I'll bankrupt myself. I still have a business to run. And the work that I'm doing with the products that I have always had in my kit, that's what's working for me. Because the feedback loop that I'm on with my work is like every time I'm working, I look at when there's newer cameras or there's a lighting setup I'm not haven't worked with before, or a new photographer, I'm always checking to see, are the products working? Could I be faster? Could I swap something out? Do I need less? Do I need more? Like I'm constantly doing this, but things are just working for me. So I don't feel the pressure to constantly replenish and try new things. And I think this simplicity is going way overlooked in our industry just because social media is hammering us with content day in and day out. So I would encourage you to try to be more simple, use up what you have. And if something is working for you, you don't need to search for anything else unless a problem with the products that you have in your kit is presenting itself. And a problem could be it's not working like it's supposed to. A problem could be it's too expensive to keep in your kit. It's too expensive to order. These are things that you need to think about, of course. But if you like something, just work with what you have. Thinking back now, oh my gosh, it was so much simpler then. So I really sympathize with people who are getting into the industry now. And especially younger makeup artists, if you're trying to build your kit, it's like a minefield, truly. So I hope that the content I share on this podcast and on social is going to be helpful to you in some way. And if you're wondering why I don't try every new foundation, if they were sent to me and it was free, I would. But remember, I am still a working artist. It's not financially responsible for me to buy everything just to review it when I'm not being paid by companies to do so. And I'm not making enough money to just do that for my content at this point. I hope it does get to that point. Honestly, I would love that. If I could just have products sent to me all the time and review it for everybody, I would absolutely love that. But that's just not my reality right now. So putting that out there so you kind of know where I'm coming from. Okay, I hope this episode has been a good reminder of what's important when building your kit. I want to encourage you to really look inwards anytime you're buying anything for your kit. Examine your work. Think about how you feel on the job. Think about your workflow. Take a look at your finances. And remember, the products that you're buying, they have to help and not hinder you in any way. And also remember what your responsibilities are as an artist. You have to show up prepared. You have to be able to work on any skin tone. You have to be versatile. And if the products in your kit or the packaging of the products in your kit or how your kit is set up or your workstation is not helping you achieve these things, then it's time to step back and figure out where you can do some renovating to come out on the other side as a more prepared artist. And I think that's everything for this episode. I hope this was helpful to you in some way. If you have any follow-up questions about anything I discussed today, please feel free to DM me on the Artist to Artist Instagram. Make sure you follow me there as well. And subscribe to this podcast. I have a new episode that comes out every single Tuesday. And for those of you who need more color theory training, if you feel like this is something you just need to get on to expand your knowledge a little bit, to feel more confident in the work that you're doing, I will share a link to a free masterclass for you in the show notes. You can see me use color theory in my applications on models. So it's a great demo, great way to learn more about color theory. It is really the key to everything that we do. I think that's it for today. Have a great rest of the week, and I will talk to you soon.